to kick off hour number two. So in the break, we're talking about how I said Euros actually did a pretty good job when he had to switch onto their guards playing defense. I said, I don't know how he guards guards better than Kamwa. And I just watched the possession you guys were talking about where they switched like twice up at the top of the key, and they were trying to like back him out and see if they could get a, like a, just a step back three on him, and they couldn't. They also couldn't drive past him because he was given enough space to like be able to cut him off. The next possession down the court, there's a switch up top. They kick it to a guy, and Kamwa is closing out on him. Dude pump fakes. Kamwa almost lands in the seats. He goes around Kamwa, draws every other Tennessee defender so he doesn't get a layup, kicks it to a dude that's wide open from three. I mean, wide-ass open. He bricks it, but in the second half, that same type of play happened, and they made those shots, and that's how you got beat. Also, we were talking about how you. I think I could be a little off, but I think you won the basketball game for 34 minutes. You just lost the game so bad in a six-minute stretch that you ended up not even being close at the end of it.
GBO.
Unreal. All right, back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We've got Berto up next. What's up, Berto? You're on three and out.
Morning, gents. That 6 minutes, Nate, how many timeouts did we call?
One.
We did get one in that 6 minutes.
Thought so.
I think so, yeah.
I'll have to check the exact.
Okay, good. How many did we return home with?
Oh, I don't know. Two?
Yeah, I want to say two.
I want to say two. It's interesting. Feels like that might be coaching. It could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong a lot this year. Could be wrong.
Yeah, you wrong yesterday when you said we're going to win this game.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I was wrong when I netted 300. I was wrong when I netted $300 too. So kiss my ass with that.
Should have had more. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
it was worth $200 to me. Okay. So I bet $200. I bet $100 to win $200. Yeah. So to net $300. I mean, that's what it was worth to me.
Yeah. Tried to buy the win. Didn't work. I'm sorry.
No. Nope. Yeah. I mean, Rick Barnes is the anti. Emo hedge. I mean, that's where we're at. I don't want him fired. For the record, a lot of people think I want him fired. I don't want him fired. I just want him to retire and go be the great man, father, husband, and grandfather that he is. I'm serious. It's time. And I'm tired of the narrative. There's two narratives I'm tired of. Well, we're a great defensive team. Hey, guys, Alabama's getting ready to go to the Final Four. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're an okay defensive team. They're an elite offensive team. Kansas State, next time they play defense, it'll be the first. And they are a great offensive team. Arguably, they have the best offensive player in the tournament right now. Let's see, who else won last night? That'd be Gonzaga. They can't play a lick of defense, but they can score. Timmy had 38 last night. Was that his final tally?
Yeah, 36 and like 14 or something.
36? Okay,
yeah.
Good Lord. And the other kid, the Noel kid, went for 20 and 19. What a number. 19 assists. In a game.
From Harlem. He's playing home.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Yeah. They have like three guys.
They're going to the
20.
Final Four. That's Phil would say, we're going to Final Four.
Pretty cool, you know.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I've had San Diego State all week. I thought they were going to win. But looking at college basketball, the game has changed. It's just offensive first, just like college football. And that's okay. But we're in the archaic era of college basketball as a fan base. That's where we live.
Hey, Bert, I went back and checked this. We didn't call a timeout until under 8 minutes, and then the next dead ball, there was another timeout because it's the under eight.
Yeah.
We should have called timeout. We should have called timeout with at least at 9:50 when they took the lead on a three-pointer. Like, they took the lead. Mm-hmm. We did not call timeout.
That's when you call
it
first timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
I'm really glad that we get to save those two timeouts for the first game next year.
Yep, that'll come in handy.
It'll come in handy when we play UAB or – well, probably not, actually. They probably whip us right now.
And the other part of the problem, though, is, Roberto, when we take a timeout, I don't know what we're not doing anything to make a difference. You know, like, that's why timeouts are valuable. A, you kind of just break the game up for a team that's hitting shots.
Well, that's what would have happened there. You try to slow them down a little bit.
Yeah, but a good coach would also use it to, like, you know, talk through why they're gaining point, mm-hmm. why they're on a run, and stop it.
Yep. You're right, Nate.
Yeah. Do it by scoring baskets on your end.
Together. But can we stop with the narrative? This is my last question to you guys. Can we please stop with the narrative that Rick Barnes is unlucky in March? So there's a lot of people just saying, well, he's just unlucky in March. Okay. I don't – how many coaches get to play a 9 seed in the Sweet 16 as a 4 seed to go to the Elite 8 and then catch a 7 or a 3 to go to the Final 4? That's not unlucky. That's bad. That's bad coaching, okay? We had to be a 3, or we had to be a 2, or we had to be a 1. We say it. I said it all year. It always bears out with Rick Barnes. He plays to his seed line. He did it again this year. I don't want him fired because he did what I thought he should do, and that is make the Sweet 16. But now that you can look, project forward, I told people a week ago this was going to happen, and everybody dismissed me and called me an idiot and said, don't talk like that. I said, if Rick Barnes loses this game, it's actually worse than if he had gotten eliminated in the round of 32. I really believe that because people are tripling down now. They're not doubling down. This is tripling down. And I hate it for him. I think it would be wise for him to retire. And when he does, we should go throw a $10 million contract at Jay Wright. Please, God, bring me Jay Wright.
Thanks for the call. I actually agree with Roberto on that. Like, if he just lost to Duke, missed some shots, people aren't going to notice as much. And you'll still have the sheep say, but he made the Sweet 16. Yeah, but it allowed us to watch him coach another game in the NCAA tournament where he was god-awful. I mean, one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament. Is he a Hall of Fame coach? Sure. But that's because he's gotten in good spots, and he's really good at lots of things. He is not good at preparing his team for one-and-done situations in the tournament. He's not good at it. He's never been good at it. He never will be good at it. This is kind of his Butch Jones moment, and that's what people are saying. You can't fire him.
You're not comparing him to Butch Jones.
No, he's night and day better than Butch Jones. However, it's the same thing when Butch lost those two games late in whatever year that was, and we said, well, I don't think this guy's ever really going to get over that hump. Rick Barnes has a completely different hump. It's a much better spot to be in the Sweet 16 hump, but you're just not going to – I mean, he had some of the best college players in the history of the game the year he made the Final Four, and they weren't Kevin Durant, so make sure you have your records right when you start talking about that. He did not make the Final Four with Kevin Durant. It was T.J. Ford, and he's not going to make the Final Four at Tennessee unless he just identifies, you know, some McDonald's All-Americans and doesn't coach them, really. I mean, like, lets them be, you know, play offense. I mean, he lost to 11 seed Loyola Chicago in the second round.
Without Kyle Alexander.
I mean, you have to win that game. You had that game won.
Rick Barnes has actually been very lucky.
Yeah.
Since he's gotten to Tennessee in the NCAA tournament. This year as a 4 seed, you're on the same side of the bracket, same region as a 1 seed. And for the second time in tournament history, 1 seed loses in the first round. Tennessee can't capitalize.
You've been in both regions, both times in the history of the tournament where the 1 seed has lost, and you couldn't capitalize it.
And it's not
Wait, we were in Virginia's when
yes.
they – really?
Yeah.
That's what Davey said. I'm going back to check it. That's what Davey said last night.
Which year, the Purdue year they beat us?
Yeah, Purdue was the 3.
Yeah, because they beat Virginia beat Purdue in the next round, right?
Yeah, it was the year before that.
Yeah, wasn't that year?
It was the regular season championship.
So it's
year.
Not the year. No.
This yeah.
Okay.
Were we in Virginia's?
Yeah, we were the 3 seed.
Son of a.
Wait, so who did Loyola play next?
Kansas State.
Yeah.
But that's what you're saying. The year we were in that we played Wright State and lost to Loyola, we were in the region that Virginia. Lost.
It's not the region. It's the same side. Well. Is it? Yeah, I guess it is.
Oh, man, I just had some chest pain.
You're right.
Not just because of this, I think.
You should eat something.
Yeah, because Kansas State is who beat UMBC in round 2.
No,
they beat
them
by 7. So, yeah.
So, we've been in the region where the 1 seed's lost to the 16 both times. I mean, it just is what it is. Like, you're right. Like, He's not going to get fired. He shouldn't get fired. You can't fire him.
I mean, you can, but yeah, you can't.
You can't. Yeah. I mean, I don't care what you want to point to, buyout, just the way it would look, whatever. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'd do if I was the AD.
What would you do, Hickman?
And like, and even if you don't agree with firing Rick Barnes or moving on, forcing him to retire, or whatever, stop making excuses for the guy, please. You're a moron. Stop making excuses for the guy. Look at it, look in the mirror. Call yourself a moron if you want to continue to make excuses, because that's what you are, and just accept it.
Well, so the talk coming into the tournament was Rick Barnes has never defeated a lower seed.
It's 08, I think.
Right.
And then we play the 9.
Yeah.
And lose.
Every loss he's had in the tournament here at Tennessee has been to a higher seed.
Not anymore.
Well, you know what I'm – well, I mean lower seed.
No, that's what he means.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, every single one.
So he's never upset anyone.
He's never pulled a tournament upset.
But
Tennessee.
We've never lost.
He has been the better seed in every NCAA tournament game he's lost.
Really? Wow.
He's probably been the better seed in probably, what, 85% of the games he's coached in the tournament here, right?
Maybe more.
Yeah, it's got to be more because we've not made it past the Sweet 16,
maybe
right?
90% of the time.
I mean, look, I'm not here to, like, throw dirt over the guy, but – at this point, clearly, there is a postseason hump that he can't get over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just stubbornness.
Yeah, out of 405 coaches in the postseason, not counting this season, he's 404 in the history of the game. He's the next worst coach in history of the tournament. He's down there with Tony Bennett of Virginia, who has the same problem.
That's actually kind of funny.
And they have the same type team right now.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. The difference though is Tony Bennett has a natty.
But I'd be willing to guarantee you he doesn't go back to the Final Four ever again.
Not unless he. I mean,
unless
it's the same
he changes,
he needs players.
I don't think.
And those coaches aren't the type of guys that go get those types of players.
And he's at the point now where like he's not changing.
Rick Barnes, no.
That's what I'm saying.
He hasn't changed for 20 years.
Well.
He's changed something.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, what do you do if you're Tennessee?
You just sit here and let him take your money until he leaves. Somebody said on VR last night.
I mean, you're not wrong. But
I think
like,
they were right. Philip Fulmer should have done us a solid and said, good luck in Pauley Pavilion. Should have let him go.
Wait, what? Like, I don't know that. It wasn't us. It was my whole thing with that, like if we really want to go back and deep dive that, he wanted to go but didn't want to pay his own buyout because UCLA would not pay his so why did we give him a raise and extension?
Yeah.
If he wasn't going to leave anyway,
the Philip Fulmer athletic director tenure has been
well
chronicled.
I don't know that was Fulmer.
True.
I think that
he was in the room, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think exactly. That was RB.
Yeah, Randy Boyd. It was a bad decision.
Like, it's just weird to be at Tennessee and a guy wants to leave and doesn't because he doesn't want to pay, and then you give him more money.
To show him we love him.
It's like,
that's what they said. That's what Fulmer did say.
But it wasn't it's not that he hated Tennessee. It was that he loved UCLA. So right. We basically paid him more because he loved UCLA so much. What?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. It's dumb.
I also really loved how we looked a lot better top to bottom as a team when we matched up with Gonzaga early in the year or before the year.
99-80.
99-80. It was kind of like a preseason NFL game in a way that, like, a lot of guys got in the game. You kind of tested the depth of the rosters a little bit more than you would in, say, a tournament game. But Mark Few is out here making adjustments, coming back from double digits and beating UCLA, another very good defensive team.
Very good.
They held UCLA scoreless for, like, this long stretch in the second half. Sounds familiar. And Gonzaga comes back and wins with Mark Few, and Tennessee can't with a team that should be better but isn't, you know.
I'm not mad. You're mad.
We'll come back one more hour or two next.
Yep.
Welcome back to Three and Out, Misery Friday edition.
Still got the Lady Balls.
Yeah, there's no conflict now on Saturday with watching the Lady Balls.
Yeah, baseball.
And baseball.
I know what I'll be watching.
That'll be a whole nother kick caboodle next
lady
week.
Lady Balls, man. Yeah. Hickman loves the ladies.
Maybe we can still do the watch party.
If they play Louisville, give me a call. Or Miami.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch. Hang on, guys. Jason Christie hooked up.
Oh, no.
Gosh.
Oh, he got a keeper. Let's go. Let's go. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. First good question.
Do you want the unofficial leader?
No. Sure.
Pull it up on the big screen so we all can see.
Can I stream on that?
Might get in trouble with the whoever that is.
No.
It's happened before.
Is that guy... does that TV have a cast, built-in cast?
Probably. Smart TV.
Let's see here.
Billy just sent me some stats if you guys want to delve into those more about how lucky Barnes has been.
Available for specific...
Read them, Hickman.
What?
Whisper.
What?
So, in 2018,
okay,
Tennessee was the 3 seed.
Uh-huh.
Both the 1 and 2 seed in your region were out in the round of 32.
I mean, that's the year we lost.
And the 4 seed lost in the round of 64.
That's the year we lost to Loyola Chicago.
Yes. 2019, the 10 seed, we were the 2 seed in 2019. The 10 seed won in the round of 64. 4 and 5 seeds lost in the round of 64. He worded this very weird, but... 2021, 1 seed loses in the round of 32. Or, 1 seed lost in the round of 32, and the 3 seed lost in the round of 32. You were the 5 seed. You lost in the first round.
Are you speaking English right now?
Right, I'm with him. I'm tracking.
All right.
And then 2022.
Basically, the year we lost to Oregon State, the 1 and the 2 lost in that region also. And we were at 5. So,
we lost opening round.
Yeah, because Illinois, didn't they lose to Loyola Chicago that year?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think they did. Matter. Yeah. And then last year, though, it was pretty chalky just across the board. So
get out of my hole.
Barnes was asked, first question in the media session, from your vantage point, what went wrong in the 18-2 run in the second half? Well, I thought, one, in the first half, they had some shots. We dodged that. Okay? We're not talking about the first half. We're talking about so basically he's saying, really, they should have been leading. Really, he's saying – we were lucky in the first half. FAU probably should have been ahead at halftime. Like, that's a really weird thing to say. But anyway. But when they started scoring, our offense wasn't very good. I mean, that's still a huge clip. They scored 40 points and a half.
Yep.
Half of those came in a six-minute stretch. Brett, can you pull up the box score on ESPN and find the
I have it.
All right. Find the 18-2 run exactly. And see
that's
how
that's not long, in the box score, but
with the play by well the box score and then toggle to the play by play and then find the 18-2 run and give us the exact time of when that started and when it ended. But when they started scoring, our offense wasn't very good. We gave up too many drives, and then along with that, offensive rebounds where we let them get downhill. A couple situations where those we did a better job in the second half staying down on shot fakes. Early in the first half, that's how we were getting into so much rotation because we were leaving our feet. Went under a few ball screens. But I thought offensively we didn't. We needed to continue to put pressure on them at the rim, whether it was throwing it inside or whether it was driving the ball, and we didn't do enough of that. When we got the ball there, we needed to finish more to continue to keep pressure on them to where they had to guard us. Then they got some separation. They got relaxed. And, I mean, they're a really good shooting team. They shoot it. The offensive rebounds were – those were big. We normally don't do that, but we did today. Like, he can't even finish a thought before switching between offense to defense.
12:52 to 6:11.
So, was that 6:41?
Yep. Good math. You should have majored in that.
So, I mean, that was it. Like, you lost the game by 16 points in a, we'll call it a 6 or 7 minute stretch.
Meshack made a,
So you won, what did they win by, 7? So you won the game. You were up 9 for 33 minutes of this game. In 33 minutes of this basketball game, Tennessee won it by 9 points. But you lost a 7-minute stretch by 16. There's no such thing as scoring droughts, though, Chris. We make that stuff up. That's just stuff that
it's made up by the media.
Yeah, media. Yep. Yep. Fake news.
Propaganda.
Well, we scored.
Oh, my gosh. 2 points.
Let's see.
2 points and 652. What did you say? 652? 642? 642.
So we hit a bucket at 1252.
1252. That was
to go to 39.
Yeah. Oh, we said 641, right?
We scored the 4 points at the 611 mark. So 6 minutes and 41 seconds.
Mm.
4 points.
Well, you don't get the. But at 612, it was two.
6 minutes and 40 seconds, and we scored two.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You cited the offensive rebounds, but just the rebounding overall. I think pregame, myself and a lot of people would have thought you would have a big advantage on the glass, and they out-rebounded you. That was the question. Barnes' response. Well, again, we wanted to, and obviously we needed Jemai Mayshak. You saw what he was able to do with driving the ball. We needed more of that from more than one player. We needed our post players because they were staying out there. Really, we could get the ball inside. If our post guys would get the post up, and then they did start digging down a little bit more, but early in the game it was wide open. So he's saying their guards are staying out on our guards. They're not helping down. They're not doubling. Our post guys got to win around the basket. And early we were wide open. He said in the second half they started digging down. What he means is when the second guard comes down and starts trying to dig the ball out as our post guys try and dribble. They were really hugging up to our perimeter guys, which a lot of teams have done to us this year, and it's something we expected today. And the only way you're going to make them change is if you're really scoring at a high clip. Then when we got there a couple times in the second half, the ball should have been passed out because we needed to make some of those perimeter shots. And again, when they put three guys around the ball, it's got to get out of your hands. Again, we need to be more aggressive going at the basket, I thought, in the second half. And then they were, again, they didn't change a whole lot other than what they were doing in the first half. They'd run what we call a little bit of notch action, but I thought we allowed them to get downhill and not guard the ball the way we needed to. Next question. Why did you decide to stick with the two big lineup in the second half and not go four guards? Barnes. Because, again, the way they were guarding us. And, again, when we go more guards, we don't feel like we get that much more dribble penetration out of it. We need to get more of that. Again, we felt like early in the game, you saw we were scoring at the rim and we started.
Again.
We should have kept going at it, which we were trying to do. But then when they dig in there, we've got to kick it out.
Again, though.
Brett and I went over this in the break. What he's talking about is when they go two bigs, they put them both inside. So there is more space for the three guards to attack on the perimeter. However, with the two bigs around the basket, even if our guards break the first level, that perimeter wall that he's talking about FAU putting up, now they're open in the mid-range, but they can't get all the way to the basket because there's FAU guys all around the basket because you got two guys down there. If you go four around one, there's not as much space to break that perimeter wall. But once you do, now it's a two-on-one at the basket. Your big guy hanging out there, the help defender, he's got to make a choice. Do I come over or do I give you the layup? If I come over, dump it down for a dunk. If I don't, make the layup. What I don't understand is, Barnes, if you love the three around two, put a damn guard in the game and let him go play post. Like, that's what I mean. Let Josiah go be the four. That's worked a ton during his tenure here. Let Phillips go be the four
offense. Not really offensively, though.
Well,
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like,
well,
Josiah.
But with the best evidence we have, which is this exact game last night, you made your run to take the lead in the first half doing that. And then we didn't do it in the second half and gave up a much bigger run that cost us the game.
20-4.
He continued on that same question. You know what? When you talk about games and substitution, we're around these guys so much and we read their body language. We feel like we know where they are. Some of that has to do with that answer, not just on the offensive end, but it's the defensive end too. We had some breakdowns with certain players today that we just felt like they weren't locked in as much as they needed to be. And then some guys were in arguably one of the biggest games of their lives, and you could just body language. We just didn't feel like they were locked in as much as we needed them to be. You'd expect them to be, but it's a big stage. There's your answer. That's why Awaka came out of the game.
Yep.
That's it right there. They thought when Awaka was in the game, he didn't have the right body language for the stage, and they said, he's not going to be able to handle the stage. We're not playing him. It's probably why Phillips only played 12 minutes too. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's your answer. That's all you're going to get.
Yep.
And the problem I have with that is you either have to have your guys ready to play in this game, or if a guy's not ready, he can't be in the game. You can't be testing that out. You think the FAU coach was over there going, well, let's just see if this guy's ready to play in the game. Oh, nope, he's not. I'm taking him back out. I just wasted a minute 15.
I will say, like the first on the highlights, the first shot that was up when Awaka was actually on the floor in the clip, he did look pretty content with being boxed out by a smaller guard. No effort.
Their rotation was set. You could tell there was a plan. It's been honed, worked all season long. Our coach does not do that. Pretty much every other coach in America does that. Houston Kress, who worked with Pat Summitt back in the day, has said this for as long as Rick Barnes has been here. What's the thing he's worried about the most every single year? The rotation. Because there never seems to be a rhyme or reason when and why and who plays with who. You can never figure it out.
It's game to game, and that's what drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not
saying. And that means you're guessing.
Yes.
Especially when you play a 9 seed. It'd have been easier for our coaches to come up with a plan against Purdue. When we play a worse team, it gets worse. Like the worse team, the more variable the team is that we play, the more it exposes Rick Barnes' coaching flaws. Hey, you're playing a team that's one of the shortest teams in America. Their best, quote unquote, like post guy that plays the four is only 6'4".
Yeah.
Like it shows that he doesn't understand and he hasn't built his team to be ready for these moments in March. I knew by their body language. Well, no, you didn't, because you played the wrong dudes. If you're reading the right body language, Kamwa shouldn't have played more than 6 minutes. First 6 minutes, he comes out, never put him back in the game. Every second out there is a waste of space. Mm-hmm. I got more on that. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200, we'll read through what else Barnes said.
Gerald Swindle hooked up.
We'll tell you how much it weighs.
I don't think it's a keeper.
On the other side.
It's a little.
Right back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We'll get back to what Rick Barnes said.
Jeff Gustafson catches a 17 7/8-inch smallmouth.
Surprise.
Billy Stats sent me our best
bye-bye
lineup with 10 or more possessions on the season. It includes Santiago Vescovi, as you'd expect. Josiah James, as you might have expected. Julian Phillips, which was kind of a surprise. Tyreek Key, which was a big surprise, and Tobe Awaka. That's your best lineup with at least 10 possessions this season.
What makes them the best lineup, though? I mean, is
really offensive safe? And defensive efficiency, basically the plus-minus. Now, that could be that could be skewed by the fact that maybe that lineup only played together in some weird games where the other team's not very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but it just kind of shows the ridiculousness of how we don't even know what our rotations are on March the 23rd. Like, that's crazy. All right, let's go back to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got DR Vol up next. What's up, DR? You're on 3 and out.
Guys, I blame that loss on me, honestly. There was an omen before the game. You remember, what was it, Georgia State, when the boat burnt down?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the band member collapsed on the field in pregame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I had a casualty, a collapse at my house. I had people come over.
Oh.
Didn't really watch the game.
You threw a party?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That was sweet of you.
Yeah. When you're a Tennessee fan, you just don't take a normal L. You take a capital L. I mean, it's just L after L. It's like I said after the South Carolina loss. We can't just lose. There's just got to be, like, mass destruction. I had everybody pulled in, and I thought everybody was there, and then all of a sudden two four-wheelers pulled in. I thought, what is this? And a guy hit and killed my dog, and that was the omen right there.
Wait, are you kidding?
Your dog died?
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Wait,
a four-wheeler? Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Someone hit and killed your dog last night?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I can't even find her. I live on a 70-acre farm, and she's an outside dog. I've had her about 5-6 years, and she ran off and died, kind of like our basketball team, I guess.
Oh, my God. That's worse than the game.
I'm about to cancel the damn show, DR. That's terrible.
I know. I feel bad. I'm even joking about it, but I should have known right then. I mean, I'm serious. Like, tip-off's about to happen, and I'm like, I'm trying to watch the game. What is going on? And it was just a sign of things to come, guys. I felt like Barnes was Coach Klein and Waterboy asking people if they had any ideas last night.
I wish he would have asked somebody if they had an idea. He was over there like, nope, I read their body language. I got it figured out.
Yep.
Don't worry about it, boys. It's all about body language.
Oh, God. Y'all brought up Phillips. How many points did he score last night, or did he just have like
zero? That'd be a big zero.
Zero in 12 minutes.
God, that guy was so frustrating. You know, and I'll send it in the group, but I keep a list of balls I don't like to watch play. He's not going to make the list, but Key is. What happened to that guy? He was supposed to be a big pickup, and he didn't do anything all year. And he was just – I'd rather just wash my eyes out with sandpaper than watch him play.
He's got a great-looking shot, and when he makes a few, it's like, man, just do that. Do that, dude. And what's weird last night is – I mean, he was one of three from three, which is –
Didn't he hit his first one?
It's fine, but he missed six twos. He normally doesn't even take twos, and he missed six of them.
Apparently, he was
he missed five of them. So
he was a 2-point shooter at Indiana State. A
2-point shooter.
Yeah, not a 3-point shooter.
Of course, we love them 2-point shooters, don't
we? Well, don't we? Yes.
You should see our second half shot chart. We shot almost every shot from the left half of the floor. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. We only took like two shots the entire half on the right-hand side of the floor.
Just make
something. Yeah, make anything.
Yeah.
We missed 14 shots in the paint, DR. 14.
It was ridiculous was when freaking AD was taking those long twos, and that was our offense.
Yeah, but he's making them. That's the thing. Like, we should have kept going Adu.
I know. That's what's the sad thing about it. He hasn't made that shot all year, it didn't seem, but he was hitting them last night, and that's the only thing we could do.
We took three shots out in what I would call the right third of the court for an entire half. Missed them all. They were all from three. Isn't that weird?
Well, we're all left-handed. That's where I love to shoot from.
Our post guys are
we should
all
have had you out there.
Yeah, we should have. You know, if I wasn't 36 and out of shape, I've exhausted my eligibility. The NCAA, I'm already on their list. I got suspended once.
CR, you know, this is really your fault, though, because you criticized Josiah Jordan James after the Colorado loss.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
That's what really stuck in his craw.
Second game of the season.
Yeah.
We'd have been fine
if not
for that.
No one believed in him after that.
Hater's that's true. Hate. And you know, that Tennessee tweeted those videos saying that the team loved their haters and keep hating. And we did. I guess we were consistent. I don't know.
Yeah, but no one believed.
We hit our shots.
That's how they made the Sweet 16. And then when people started believing, and that's why they lost.
It was a little bit of a lack of belief and not enough ball leaf.
We didn't ball leaf enough.
Yeah. Well, it's crap. I had that tweet where I wasn't saying – well, I said I wouldn't tweet anything bad about Barnes. I mean, it's March and it's Barnes. I don't know what else we're supposed to do.
Wow.
Guys, that's all I got. I'm going to ask this, though. This loss, what do y'all think? This doesn't hurt as much as Chicago Loyola or Purdue, does it, to y'all?
No, it doesn't to me.
No.
Yeah, you felt like you had a real chance to actually win a national championship with those two teams. This one, it was like, you know.
It kind of felt like you were sneaking in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and we literally get to hang a banner for beating Duke, so that's good. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I'm more angry at this one because it was just such a bad coaching performance.
Such an easy game
to
win.
Yeah, but I'm not as gutted by the result. I agree with you guys on that because I did feel like those other teams had much higher ceiling. Although I will say, I mean, this year's been kind of nuts. Like I wouldn't have. I won't be shocked if FAU beats Kansas State if Noel's a little gimpy. Like if that thing swells up on him, and a lot of times that happens with ankles. And they've got if he is not as quick as normal, they at least have some guys that are quick enough to at least limit him some.
Kansas State plays small too. Keontae Johnson's their four, and he's like 6'6".
Yeah, and then they do have some big guys that can take advantage of them.
They had three guys score over 20 last night. I mean, it's just like crazy.
Well, what's the guy that hit the threes?
Masood,
good Lord, he was sensational.
He was the one who hit the big one against Kentucky late as well.
Yep. He hit that big step back two off the baseline inbounds. That was a dagger.
Why can't we lose 98-93?
and that play where like their late shot clock offense down the stretch was, well, let's just let Noel pull it from the logo. For some reason, the view cut out, like when they were showing the replay of if his finger grazed it, like you can see, it looks like his middle finger bent back. Did you guys get a better look on that? Because I didn't. Cut off right at the top.
I mean, it was an air ball by 5 feet. Like I think it definitely hit his middle finger.
You could see his middle finger.
Yeah, it bounced back.
I couldn't even believe he shot that.
Yeah,
that was
stupid.
Crazy.
Dumb, bad shot selection, but
worked out.
I mean, he was great doing a lot of other things.
But then they ran a great out of timeout play.
Yeah, the baseline play after that was great, and that alley oop is still. That
was bad, wasn't it? I mean, that was awesome. He's looking over at the coach, and the coach is like, yeah, 22.
Yeah.
And then it's just a dunk.
And turned into a backwards oop, too.
I love the debate. Like, that's not on purpose. Oh, that was totally on purpose. It's like, yeah, okay, like, what? 20 minutes they spent
on that. It's a lost art to put a pass in some danger because the reward is worth it. And Noel's the only guy.
It's Butch Jones.
I think he's the only guy. Yeah, it's anti-Butch Jones, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Noel's 50-50 the only guy ball. Left in the tournament that is that type of passer. I mean, that's an old-school passer. That's the ball screen offense evolved with passing like that, and that's what makes it so dangerous. But you are taking a risk because that ball can get deflected. It can get stolen.
It can be off target a little bit, go off the backboard. Yeah,
and that's where I feel like a lot of these teams in college basketball right now, Tennessee included, that struggle on offense, they don't have plays where, hey, when this guy cuts, if he's open at all, give it to him because he knows it's coming and you know you're going to throw it. And take a little risk, you know, bounce it under the guy's arm because if you make the pass, it's a guaranteed layup, you know? And a lot of these teams don't have any of that in their offense, and that's why they can't score down the stretch, especially in the tournament where the defenses are playing max effort all the time. And that's why you get a lot of these weird low-scoring games. Credit Kansas State for having a dude that knows when to pull the trigger on that type of stuff. And some of these other teams, like Gonzaga.
That game was crazy.
Gonzaga, another team that still plays, you know, at a high level of offense. Izzo.
Did you see UConn?
Yeah.
UConn
looked great.
Gosh.
And Izzo did a really good job of finding the best matchup and picking on the right Kansas State defender and getting buckets down the stretch to even force overtime. That was a really good kind of coaching chess match there.
I was terrified to have to play and watch Hauser bury three after three after three after three against us.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about it now, Chris.
I knew you were going to say that.
Final segment, hour two next.
Is there any other kind? No. I said grave danger, and you said, is there any other kind? I know what I said!
You guys want some maybe positive news today?
Yeah.
Sure.
We're on commit watch.
Four.
Four-star Juke Harris will make his college announcement tomorrow. This was tweeted 18 hours ago.
I don't even know what sport
it
is.
Yeah, maybe lead with the sport.
He is one of the top 40 guards in the country.
His name's Juke?
Top 35, to be exact.
All right.
Juke.
Who's he choosing between?
Miami, LSU, Kansas, Wake Forest, Tennessee, Virginia Tech.
Well, he hopefully doesn't know who BJ Edwards is.
Yeah.
No one does.
Oh, that leads right into my final Rick Barnes quote of the day. I'm not going to read all the fluff that came after this about,
he's crystal balled the Wake Forest.
Wake Forest.
Then why are we on commit watch?
Well, I mean, we're 1 of 5.
Would you take Forbes right now? Would you trade?
Yes, I'd take anything right now.
Oh, I know. I know you would today, but I just mean like
tomorrow too.
Question. You said after the Texas game in January that you wanted to see this team improve through February. Do you feel like that ever happened? And if not, why not? Barnes' answer. Well, Tom Satkoviak told me we haven't had a healthy team since February the 8th with everybody healthy. If you ask me, did we improve? We did. because when you have to tweak and change stuff as much as we had to just to put guys in position to be comfortable. I mean, Jemai Mashak hasn't played point guard until February since he's been here. He's done it in practice in terms of just – but to put him out there where he's really trying to learn how to run a team and where he has given us, where he had been so good rebounding the ball, playing off the ball. Tyreek Key has never played point guard until he came to Tennessee, and he would tell you he's more of a scorer. Yeah, there's no doubt we've improved, or we wouldn't be here today. The fact is, it's always disappointing when you know you're close to going after the goal that I think we all chase, and that's to be the last team standing. But as a group, yeah, we got better, or we wouldn't have made it this far. That is absolutely baloney. What seed were we projected at when we beat Texas?
Two seed?
Two.
At least.
At least, yeah.
Right? We started debating, what do we need to be a one seed? You got worse. You got two to three seed lines worse from now until February. So, Barnes can say that. It's not that big a deal that he said it. It's just like, that's just a lie. You're just lying to us at this point. Don't sugarcoat it.
He can lie about that, but he can't lie about UCLA.
Anyway, that's all I got from Barnes last night. Just the whole thing's frustrating.
Did he congratulate the coach?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I skipped over the intro. I basically just said Florida Atlantic.
How great they are?
Yeah. Congrats to them, yada, yada, yada.
They were better, hopefully.
He said they deserved to move on.
Outplay this. Jeez.
That's cool.
Thanks, Rick. What week would that Texas one have been?
In January or something.
Like week 10, week 11, maybe. I mean, we were ranked ninth in the. Well, let's see. That's after.
We were ranked.
What was our record? That might be easier. We fell week 10 four spots because we're now 14-3. So maybe when we were fifth in the country, yeah, 13-2.
Yeah.
I mean, we're fifth in the country in the rankings, behind Houston, Kansas, Purdue, and Alabama. Those teams finishes the number one seeds in the tournament. So if you just went by rankings, which actually all the metrics, we were ranked even higher at the time, net and all that stuff that the committee looks at, we were the best number two seed. We finished as just one of the four seeds. We did not get better from January to March.
We lost our point guard.
We were already worse before we went down.
Yeah, but we lost him.
Yeah.
It hurt.
Oh, man. Barnes did take his waist time out. I mean, we didn't score.
I noticed that.
We didn't score coming out of that break. I don't see what we tried to run here. Oh, goodness.
We had a good
can't score.
We had a good time.
Can't score. I mean, he is kind of right. If the 18-2 runs an 18-12 run or 18-10 run, like, it's still a ball game right down the stretch.
Mm. It was 20-4.
Yeah.
That's 20-4.
I wasn't shocked that they came back and that it went down
to the
wire.
Yeah, me neither.
I thought we were headed for a Loyola Chicago type ending, one way or another, or Purdue.
Keep in
mind,
we were down 10 with a minute and a half to go in that game.
Yeah, we got destroyed. I mean, we got our ass handed to us.
Talk about Loyola Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
We came back, took the lead somehow, and then they hit that shot.
All things considered, you got a pretty good look at the end of that game, too, I guess.
But I thought even early in the
bone top of the key three.
Early in the second half, I thought that if they beat us, it was going to be kind of like Missouri did or Vanderbilt. Like, it was going to be come down to the last possession if they were going to win. I did not think there was in a million years that they'd be up double digits or almost double digits with – they were up – they went up 7, like 2-something to go.
Yeah.
Never in a million years, I think,
would
have that lead with that much time.
I knew it was over at that point.
Yeah, that run out play.
I was just like, all right, well, good season-ish.
Well, because unlike a team like Gonzaga, we can't score. So down 7 feels like down 15.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and for most of the season, up 8 or 9 felt like that too. But every game we had to get to 10. And we could never push this lead to 10. It's kind of like Duke until the end. We could never make it. Was 9 and then 7, then 9 and then 6. And then we finally pushed it to 10 and ran away with it. But we couldn't. I don't know. It's like a weird confidence thing with this team.
Man. All right, we'll come back. More phone calls. If you want to weigh in, we still got time for those. 865-546-8200. We'd love to hear from you. The Big Orange Philly phone lines. Hour 3 next.